How easy is it to go vegan in Italy?
Ciao, siamo Gabriele e Angelique. Benvenuti nel nostro podcast. We are passionate language learners and we record for you the language learning podcast we'd like to play when we learn new languages.
Our podcast in mixed English and simple Italian helps beginners and intermediate Italian language learners enjoy engaging content about Italy, its language, and its culture from day zero of their language learning journey.
Happy New Year to our dear listeners. Did you miss us? Fear not, as we start the podcast with a bang. As many of you might know, every January, people all over the world participate in the Veganuary challenge to promote and educate everyone on the vegan lifestyle. Because of this, we thought of sharing with you today our conversation with Alice Cosso and Giulia Cimarosti, world travelers and founders of the online vegan community in Genoa, called Vegenova. If they are not busy traveling across the globe, you'll see them scouting for places that offer vegan treats here in Genoa and the rest of the Ligurian coast.
I know, you might be thinking, is it impossible to stay vegan when traveling to Italy? How hard is it? Can someone manage to eat a yummy pizza while skipping the mozzarella? Can we still eat authentic Italian food if we stay away from animal products? How will you find Italian restaurants that accommodate this diet?
Surprisingly, Italians are not as close-minded as you think when it comes to adopting a vegan diet. Last year, Alice and Giulia launched their first vegan festival, also known as Vegenova Vegan Festival, and it turned out to be a success.
In this episode, we discuss the many misconceptions people have about maintaining a vegan diet here in Italy, as well as their journey to being one of the most popular online vegan communities in Italy. While it is true that Italians adore their prosciutto crudo and parmigiano, they also offer traditional animal-free meals like ribollita, farinata, and zimin, to name a few. Well, how do you think the famous Mediterranean diet, quote-unquote, came to be?
So, if you are thinking of organizing a trip to Italy and going plant-based or vegan, you should definitely not miss this episode. And if you want to learn about Vegenova's recommendations and science-backed information on going vegan, you should surely head to our show notes.
In the meantime, you can support us by leaving us a review in Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, and join our Patreon community. Listen now to our conversation and learn about veganism in Italy while enriching your Italian language learning experience. Buongiorno a tutti. Benvenuti al nostro podcast The Italian Escape. For today's episode... Okay, so for today's episode, we have a number of guests joining us. We are your hosts, Angelique and Gabriele.
Ciao a tutti.
For today, we will be talking with two of the founders of this online vegan community in Genoa to talk about veganism in Italy and in Genoa, and how easy it is to be a vegan or to be someone who's vegan traveling to Italy. So introducing our guests, Alice Cosso and Giulia Cimarosti. Benvenuti al nostro podcast, ragazze.
Grazie, ciao.
Grazie, ciao.
Ciao ragazze.
Scusate, ero occupato a calibrare. Ok, so what's your first question? I know you're passionate about veganism and especially about how to give tips to our listeners who are vegan about how they can enjoy the Italian cuisine in Italy while staying vegan, which is not that easy.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in that. But of course, I would like to know about their story because it's something that not many know. Like, Alice, Giulia, come avete iniziato questo viaggio per il veganismo in Italia?
chi inizia? Alice,
sì, inizia io. Tu hai iniziato proprio.
Allora, in realtà diciamo, la community che esiste oggi, cioè Vegenova, è nata qualche anno fa. È nato da un gruppo di Facebook che avevo aperto io qualche anno fa. Ma diciamo che poi con la pandemia e tutto è rimasto tutto molto virtuale. Poi per fortuna, diciamo, quando le varie regole si sono allentate un pochino, ci siamo incontrate con Alice casualmente a una cena a Genova, e allora da lì abbiamo iniziato a fare qualcosa di più, cercando di anche creare dei momenti di incontro, no? Anche con le persone locali e non solo il solito gruppo Facebook, che poi è un po' fine a se stesso. E, il viaggio, il veganismo a Genova, in realtà Alice in realtà è vegana da molto più tempo di me. Io sono vegana da poco, da neanche un anno. Sono stata vegetariana per 8-10 anni più o meno. E quindi ecco, io sono arrivata un po' per ultima, però chiaramente vivendo qui, viaggiando però anche tanto, è facile vedere, no, la differenza, cosa cambia a seconda di che luogo si visita. Alice, vuoi aggiungere qualcosa, visto che tu sei più senior di me in questo?
No, allora io, vabbè, ho vissuto tanti anni a Londra, quindi ho iniziato su. Ero prima vegetariana, poi essendo a Londra, Londra è molto semplice, c'è una città piena di alternative, piena di opportunità se si vuole iniziare a intraprendere un'alimentazione vegana, e poi ovviamente l'ho fatto per scelta etica. E quando poi sono tornata da Londra, per puro caso ci siamo incontrati in questa cena ovviamente vegana, e niente, abbiamo iniziato a collaborare, a parlare e a mettere assieme nuove idee, nuovi progetti. Siamo sempre pieni di nuove idee, nuovi progetti che vorremmo realizzare in realtà. E niente, abbiamo aperto la pagina Instagram e abbiamo iniziato a fare le recensioni dei locali vegani in giro per Genova, che ha avuto molto successo perché comunque non esisteva una realtà del genere, e quindi le persone sono molto interessate, ci seguono, spesso ci chiedono consigli. Quindi si è creata una community molto bella, molto interessante. E poi l'anno scorso abbiamo fatto la follia, o meglio quest'anno, abbiamo detto: ma sì, perché non facciamo un evento vegano, un festival vegano a Genova che non esiste? E così dal nulla noi due, come due pazze, abbiamo creato questo festival che è andato molto molto bene. È stato un gran successo, è piaciuto molto. La community ci chiede di farlo una volta al mese, ma sarebbe un po' troppo. Però bello, cioè magari poterlo fare una volta anche a settimana, ma siamo soddisfatte perché è stato proprio bello e abbiamo creato qualcosa che mancava a Genova, quindi siamo contenti che sia piaciuto.
So it's interesting to hear that you started this as a not as a hobby, but motivated by the need that there was nothing of this kind in Genoa. And were you inspired by something that you had in London and you couldn't find here in Genoa, in Italy?
Forse un po' sì, la mancanza comunque di opzioni. Qua a Genova c'era poco, c'è ancora poco, però piano piano si sta aprendo, abbiamo sempre più realtà in realtà. Sicuramente aver vissuto all'estero apre molto la mente, e permette di avere nuove idee, sì, nuovi progetti che magari stando a Genova, chiusi a Genova, non si possono conoscere. Però diciamo che sia io che lei siamo sempre state molto così internazionali, molto aperte a nuove cose. E E quindi diciamo che ci siamo trovati molto in sintonia da questo punto di vista. E poi ci accomuna ovviamente la causa, ci teniamo a portare avanti comunque questo festival, ma non solo, cioè, vogliamo comunque educare le persone, far capire che si può essere vegani, non è questa cosa assurda, impossibile, e quindi ci teniamo a farlo conoscere anche nella nostra piccola Genova. Perché secondo me Genova può offrire tanto, può aprirsi moltissimo da questo punto di vista, e l'abbiamo già visto comunque con il festival.
You said that the community that you grew here in Genoa would have liked to have more than just one festival, but more like of a recurrent event. And what do you think they liked so much in the event? Can you tell us a bit more about it? How was it, and why was it so new for Genoa, or in general for many cities in Italy? With the exception maybe of Milan or these more international areas.
Shall I reply in English?
Come vai?
Okay, now let's try. So I think what was very special, I mean, what people really liked is that first of all the festival, I don't know if we were very lucky or, you know, I don't know what happened, but there was such a good vibe. Like the audience was really nice. There was no problem whatsoever. And it was really cool because there were so many people that came not only from Genova, but also from other places, far away from Genova, actually. And we saw with our eyes that there were people meeting and creating new business, new ideas, new things, you know, that happened. So this means that it was really needed, you know. And what we really wanted to do was to show the people of Genova that there are many options, because sometimes the things are out there, you just don't know they are there, you know. And there was no not much information about this, so you really had to go look for things, and it's not really easy when it's like that, you know. So the festival was really, I think, it was a surprise. Like people were not expecting it, and that's why many people came from outside. Some people came even from Aosta, I remember. Some people
Really,
from
addirittura
Tuscany.
d'Aosta.
Yeah, we had people from all over, and it was, that's probably why. I mean, it was a surprise. It was new. It was unexpected, and it had this very new feeling. Finally, you know, something really new, something really different. And by the way, I also want to point out that our community is a very open community. We don't, it's not closed to people that are not vegan or vegetarian, or anybody can join because it's not a closed club, you know. Like maybe some people just want to learn that one recipe or just get some information, and they don't have to be shy. We are very welcoming. And we didn't have only vegans at the festival at all. We had people eating everything. But, you know, when it's a friendly environment and it's open, we had many, for example, we had some small conferences. People, you know, could talk to each other. And I think that's really what made it very special, because it was open. It was not like vegans only.
Yeah.
It was for everyone, and it was fun. So, yeah.
Yeah,
And of
that's
course, we are
yeah.
working on the new edition. So.
Well, we cannot wait to join the next one, but like yeah, that's something I observed too, because there used to be something like a close community in Genoa actually on vegans and vegetarians. And I was in that group, like to see and observe what people do, and people were very judgmental about animal rights and all these reasons of why you should be a vegan. And then there was a lot of like hate, I think, in that group. That's why it slowly died as well, because it was also becoming like a platform to promote their stuff, like special products, or like I don't know, animal adoption or something like that, because veganism can be more than just eating. It can be also saving the planet, saving animals, and so on. And like, was it easy for you to communicate with the people, especially the Genoese, through this online platform like Instagram, because I know that in Instagram also there's this tendency of getting a lot of hate comments as well, or like criticisms of being vegan, because as much as it's getting popular, it's still not very acceptable, I think, especially in a place like Genoa where they're very, you know, close-minded and stuff.
Alice, you are the social media manager. So.
Yeah. I mean, it came very natural, to be honest. We didn't have many issues. We didn't have anyone spreading hate. I mean, not yet, at least. Probably because we try to communicate the fact that we are open, that we want people to get closer to the vegan lifestyle. So it's like, it's great when someone that eats meat or drink milk get closer to our way of living. And even I don't know if people usually are not vegan, but they go to a vegan restaurant and they tell us, "Oh my God, that was so good." It's already something, an achievement for us, because that means that they may get closer to that kind of lifestyle. And you never know, maybe one day they realize that it's easy to be vegan and it's easy to stop animal cruelty. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird that we never had anyone hating us. Maybe we do, but they don't show it. I don't know. But yeah, we just try to communicate in a very friendly way. And I think that the way you communicate is very important. We never say, "Oh my God, you're not vegan, you shouldn't be here," because that's not the way. When you spread hate, people will hate you back and they will never be vegan. So that's not the way to just try to change the world in a way. Of course, we will love everyone to be vegan, just because we care a lot about the animals. But I think it takes like baby steps. So it's important to always be kind, and that's what we try to do. But yeah, I mean, the event was open to anyone. There were so many people that were not vegan, and also we did it at Giardini Luzzati, which is in the middle of the city, so many people come and go. Many people happen to be there. They probably didn't even know about the events, but they were there. So it's great that we could like share such an important festival with anyone. So yeah, it was great. And actually, we went viral first time we shared our first post about the event. So we were not expecting that at all.
Which is pretty cool, I think, no?
Sì, mm-hmm. Sì, sì, decisamente. E sono molto d'accordo con Alice. Il modo migliore per diffondere una nuova idea è farlo appunto senza creare barriere, senza creare distinzione fra i buoni e i cattivi. E non è semplice, come dicevi tu, Angie, soprattutto nel contesto del veganismo, avere questo genere di relazione così aperta, così rilassata, è facile trovare da entrambe le parti un approccio molto ostile, no? Con diciamo i non vegani che seguono il motto del salva una pianta, mangia un vegano, e a volte i vegani dall'altra parte che diventano quasi religiosi in alcune condizioni. Mentre invece ci sono tante motivazioni per apprezzare una dieta vegana. E a volte, secondo me, al di là di chi è vegano sempre, comunque mangiare vegano può anche essere un approccio interessante, anche se fatto solo ogni tanto. Diciamo, non dovrebbe essere un bianco o nero, secondo me. Voi cosa ne pensate, Giulia e Alice?
Io penso che, come in tutte le cose, ci sono sempre invasati, chiamiamoli così, cioè gli estremi ci sono in tutte le cose, cioè anche quando vai in palestra c'è quello che parla solo di palestra e quello che invece non ne frega niente ci va una volta al mese, no? E, però diciamo che, visto che il discorso non è solo una questione di etica, no? Però la dieta vegana ormai si sa che ha dei grossi vantaggi, vegana inteso come plant-based, poi chiaramente è chiaro che se uno mangia solo patatine fritte non è così salutare, però intendo dire che ha molti risvolti sia dal punto di vista della salute, però anche, no, sull'inquinamento, insomma ci sono tanti lati che uno può vedere. Quindi diciamo che qualsiasi piccolo passo che uno fa è importante, non è che uno deve da un giorno all'altro cambiare tutto, no? Cioè se una persona magari che a cui piace mangiare onnivoro, perché comunque ci sono anche delle abitudini che sono difficili da mettere in dubbio, no? Così dal giorno alla notte, magari uno va al festival, assaggia una cosa che non aveva mai assaggiato e dice ma mi piace, una volta ogni tanto mi mangio anche questo, è già comunque un qualcosa. Quindi voglio dire, purtroppo, cioè anche noi ovviamente conosciamo tutti i tipi di vegani, però devo dire che purtroppo, come in tutte le cose, sono quelli che magari sono tanto aggressivi, sono quelli che fanno più rumore, cioè sono quelli che magari uno vede di più, sono più visibili, ma poi il 99% della gente è tranquillissima, nel senso si vive le sue cose tranquillamente. E poi ricordiamoci sempre che non esiste la perfezione, nel senso che anche essere aggressivi non serve a niente, perché tanto nessuno sarà mai perfetto nel suo non nuocere a niente, a nessuno, perché cioè, tutti abbiamo una, come dire, impronta, no? Però anche solo fare qualcosa è sempre meglio di niente, quindi bisogna essere molto tranquilli. E quindi sì, cioè, non so se...
It's very true. No, it's very true, and actually... I am not a vegan, but I appreciate a vegan meal.
Most days.
Yeah, oftentimes I appreciate a vegan meal. I like it. And I'm actually very annoyed when I ask about the vegan options and I am treated like if I were a religious fanatic. It is kind of annoying. And when that happens, I don't like to say I am not a vegan, because I feel like this should not matter.
True. Yeah,
if I want true. Vegan options, then I should have the chance to have that.
True. I think that was difficult. Like I tried being full on vegan a few years ago, I think just right after the pandemic, when we did our first trip around Italy in Marche. And it was so hard to find places that were serving more plant-based diets. Usually there was only this, using the app, the Happy Cow, I think. Mm-hmm. We usually end up eating in a diner that was like all processed, like beyond meat kind of burger every time. Mm-hmm. Like there were not that many creative outlets for restaurants to you know, host vegan meals. So I think my question for this instance would be like, how easy is it to travel around Italy being a vegan? Like, I know that in Marche it could be harder than Genoa. Like Genoa, because of your platform, thankfully people can find some vegan options. But like in other regions, is it possible?
Alicia, maybe? Alicia.
I mean, it is... Actually, there are many pages on Instagram like Veganova, because many pages from other regions have opened. So that's a useful resource. But also, yeah, you can find on the apps like Happy Tao or other apps. I don't know. I mean, probably not everyone is easy. What I usually do when I have to travel, I research. So I do my research, because for me, eating during a trip is like the best thing, most important thing. And I always want to try as many vegan restaurants as possible. So with a good amount of research, you can be prepared and know where to find something for you. But yeah, sometimes it's very, very hard because yeah, you go somewhere and you never find an option, and it's very frustrating because it should be so easy to have like a very easy vegan option, like some pasta with tomato sauce would be a perfect vegan option. And many people don't get that. I don't know why. So yeah, some restaurants are very kind, and they, even if they don't have anything in the menu, they would put together something for you. But sometimes it's hard. And when you ask for vegan, people get scared. I don't know. It's something about the word vegan that they don't like. I don't know what it is. Mm. But yeah, sometimes it's a bit hard to find options. But yeah, the goal is having a world where being vegan is not this difficult. Yeah.
Julia, no, Julia. I just wanted to add that, I mean, at least for myself, I kind of understand that having to research before a trip could be stressful for someone. Like for someone, it could be part of the fun, but for someone else, it could be a pain in the back because, of course, you don't want to have to stress about eating. Eating shouldn't be stressful. So that's probably the worst part. The good news is that there are really more and more vegan places around. So that's one thing. And the second obvious thing is that for myself, at least, when I travel and it's not just like a day or two where you can live on pasta with tomato sauce, maybe you have like 10 days or 2 weeks. It's better to have your own kitchen, to be honest. Because especially in Italy, we have very, you know, wherever you go, you have all these regional foods that very rarely you can get in the vegan version. And it's understandable because, of course, if the place is not vegan, they will not have so many options. So it's just so much better to have your own kitchen. And in the supermarkets, there are more and more vegan things. You can get whatever you like, really. So that's probably the easiest.
Devo dire che una delle cose che mi colpisce quando viaggiamo e cerchiamo di mangiare vegano è che tante volte i ristoratori non si rendono neanche conto che tanti piatti della cucina italiana tradizionale sono vegani o quasi, no? E quindi basterebbe una piccola modifica per poter promuovere il fatto che offrono opzioni vegane. Per esempio la pasta ai fagioli, basta togliere il guanciale ed è diventata vegana. La zuppa contadina, lo zimin,
la farinata,
è veramente pieno, però a Genova, per esempio, I mean, where we lived, farinata, this is like chickpeas, dish, purely vegan, 100% vegan, and yet nobody advertises farinata as a vegan option.
Also panisa.
And panisa.
Panisa,
just like,
yes, absolutely.
And so, yeah, it's hard for a tourist because they don't know. Like, and actually I don't think there's such an app. I don't know, maybe you know, Alice or Julia, if there's an app where the traditional Italian dishes that are actually vegan are listed or can be found, because sometimes that could be a easier option than to find a vegan place. Conoscete qualche app?
That's a good idea. I don't think I know of an app like that, but that would be really cool because there are two positive things. One, you will show that there are many options out there. And sometimes it's the restaurant owner himself or herself that doesn't really know. And the second thing is that Italians really love Italian food, so you wouldn't have to, you know, step out of the comfort zone. You could find something that is Italian and vegan, and it's born like that, you know. So yeah, that would be actually really interesting. Good idea. we could use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one more thing that bugged you also is that, like, recently we were in Poland, and in Poland mm-hmm. there were much more actually vegan products that were more. Maybe it's because of the price difference, because they use zloty, so in euros they sound cheaper, but they have, like, for example, Violife cheese, which is like mm-hmm. half the price than a Violife cheese that's being sold in Italy. So it's.
Ma sai perché in Italia le opzioni vegane sono una cosa elite. Da elite, sono cibi particolari, quindi è un lusso essere vegani in Italia. Effettivamente, andando da Natura Sì o nei supermercati dedicati, il tofu, il seitan, they're very expensive.
I think the myth that we want to debunk, or is it actually real, is that whether vegan options, like this kinds of vegan cheese, because how can you have pizza that's vegan without vegan cheese, I guess, aside from margherita. Mm-hmm.
From marinara.
Marinara, sorry. Margherita has cheese. Aside from marinara, like all these vegan alternatives that were being sold in some places, how, like, are they affordable for a regular person? Like, now that there's inflation that's being a problematic issue for everyone, is it still affordable for many to go vegan?
Yeah, I don't think being vegan means having to spend loads of money, because you can find all the nutrients from, like, vegetables and, I don't know, like beans, soy. I mean, you can find tofu for cheap price. I mean, you don't have to spend loads of money for tofu. You can avoid buying, like, alternative meat or fake meat or things like that. You can avoid also the processed cheese, because it's not very healthy. I mean, it's nice to have it on a pizza, but it's not that healthy. So I think it's a myth saying that being vegan means being wealthy or having to spend lots of money, because that's really not true. You can create very great dishes with, like, simple ingredients.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, you know. It's a little bit more work, but it's obvious. But if you don't buy, for example, the burgers or all these things that, you know, the Violife cheese, for example. Yeah, it's frustrating that it's more expensive in Italy than probably in Germany or anywhere else, but that's, you know, one story. But at the same time, you don't really need Violife cheese in your life. It's really not healthy. There is no good nutrients there. I like it. I'm not saying it's not good. It's good taste, but you don't need it. So if you want to have like the nutrition that you need, it's super cheap. Like, come on, you can have like beans and rice and tofu and I mean, not every day, of course, but I mean, if you know, you can mix and match the ingredients, not buying the thing, the ready to make thing, and it's super cheap, to be honest. But I also do the same. I mean, I eat a lot of those things and I spend a lot of money, but because of course I don't have children, I can spend my money on my food, but I understand it could be different, you know, for someone. But it's really, you don't really need those things. And at the same time, there are some stores, for example, Lidl, which is of course German, where the vegan food is super cheap. So if you know where to go, sometimes of course it's not like top quality, but if you really want to have the vegan junk food, it can be really, really cheap.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh, I now have a question. Like, this is something particular in Italy, because in Italy, you guys love sweets for breakfast, aside from Genoa, of course, that have focaccia.
Mm-hmm.
True. Focaccia is vegan, by the way. Focaccia, yeah. Without strutto, I mean, with the oil, which is very Genoese, is vegan. So,
yeah. So I
think that's a good point.
That's more points for Genoa.
So please come to Genoa. Come to Genoa, the more vegan-friendly city, and check Veg Genoa for options.
Yeah. So I think my question is, if people don't feel like eating focaccia, even though it's really good for breakfast, is it easy also for people to find pastries that are vegan in Italy? Because I know people love pastries here in Italy, mm-hmm. especially like baba and all this stuff.
Well, I mean, if we speak about breakfast, for example, you know, the typical breakfast could be to have cappuccino and the croissant or something like that. We have to admit that the soy milk or oats milk is almost everywhere.
Yeah.
In the main cities, we're not talking about you know, small towns, but it's almost everywhere. That's one point. Pastries, a bit more difficult.
Croissant, you can find like very simple croissant in the vegan version almost everywhere nowadays, I think. Yeah.
Except where I live. I live not in Genova. I live in nearby. It's called Rapallo. You probably heard of it. And here it's zero. Like for the vegans, no way. Like nothing. But yeah, it's almost everywhere, like in Genova, for example. Genova, you know, everybody thinks Genova is old and closed-minded, but it's surprising. It's surprising. Yeah, for vegans, it's really surprising.
Yeah. So.
And speaking of pastries, I met a pastry chef yesterday. He has a lab, what is it called? A workshop in Genova, and he doesn't only do vegan pastry, but many options. And he actually said that they are really good. Like he wouldn't be doing them. He's not vegan, so he wouldn't do the vegan things if they weren't good. He really likes them. Like he says that you know, it's very taste-wise, it's really good. And so there are places in Genova that are very good quality too. So,
yeah. So I think the next question is like having all this online community with all these places, like how do you find them? Like how do you get in touch with them? And then I'm pretty sure like some of them actually formed alliances, I guess, in the process. Like once you build a community, you also build a rapport between these producers and also these people who make vegan options. Like, for example, I saw there is a place called Janu, so J-A-A-N-U for people who don't know about it. And it's a vegan, like a trattoria or a vegan takeaway place where you could find affordable vegan options. And they partnered, for example, with this burger place in Genoa, which is called Groove. And is it because of you guys, you think, that they kind of met each other? Because without you guys, maybe these vegan places would not have known that other vegan places existed?
Yeah, I don't know if it's because of us, but it's good that we have created this sort of network because we all know each other now because we have been working together for the festival. And it's great to see this new partnership that gets created in Genova. So we were happy to see that they were working together. I think Janu was doing their burgers. And so, yeah, I don't know if it's because of us, but yeah, it's nice to see that things are moving. Even, I mean, Groove is a burger place. They use meat mainly, but their vegan burgers are amazing. They are so good. And so and the guy running it is always really keen to find new ways of introducing new products and new flavors. He always texts us to ask us like suggestions or recommendations. So this is great. I mean, it's great the kind of community that that is growing in Genova. So, yeah, we are really happy about that.
Cool, right? Because usually people mistake Genova for being, as you said, Julia, being closed, minded, not open for change. Maybe it applies mostly for the older people, but I think the people who are in this vegan community more and more are now the younger ones and the ones who want to try to innovate, I think. And that's why like they're pushing for collaborations and also giving more opportunities for people to open up businesses, maybe, I hope, in the future. I hope.
Hopefully. I mean, we know that it's, you know, there is a little percentage of trend there, because we all know that many brands are you know, creating new vegan products because they know that there is a market. It's not just because they are, you know, suddenly, all of a sudden, they think about the ethics. But this is helpful for us because, of course, the more products are out there, the easier it gets for people to go vegan or to choose vegan options sometimes, and the more restaurants and activities in general there will be. So for us, it's all very good.
Maybe you want to, like, maybe we could also close this.
Sì, in realtà ho un'ultima domanda prima di terminare. Mettendomi un po' nei panni dei nostri ascoltatori, mi verrebbe da chiedere, ma visitando l'Italia, quali sono i piatti italiani naturalmente vegani che voi consigliereste? Diciamo, se uno dovesse fare un tour vegano gastronomico dell'Italia, diciamo, quali sarebbero le tappe principali, secondo Meg Genova?
Cioè, allora, sicuramente ce ne sono tante. Noi forse non so se conosciamo tanti piatti di altre regioni, però a Genova, vabbè, abbiamo già detto, farinata, focaccia, i pulli, se non c'è il pesce dentro, comunque spesso e volentieri sono vegan. Cos'altro potremmo dire? Vabbè, la focaccia in tutte le piccole cipolle, wow. E, altrimenti mi viene in mente, tra l'altro, tipo anche nella cucina siciliana ci sono le panelle, mi sembra che siano sempre comunque tipo panissa. C'è forse anche delle tipo crocchette di patate, cose di questo tipo. Per il resto, beh, per esempio, non so, le orecchiette con la caponata, credo che siano vegan, caponata.
Tutta una serie di paste comunque con che non hanno la carne o il formaggio, c'è pieno.
C'è anche la zuppa toscana, mi sa.
Ci sono le zuppe di ceci, di
la pappa al pomodoro.
Pappa al pomodoro, bravissima. Zimino, lo zimino sì, anche, assolutamente. Adesso sto tipo visualizzando l'Italia, cercando piatti, però sicuramente facendo un po' di brainstorming ce ne sono veramente tanti. E non, ci avete dato anche una buona idea, devo dire, perché effettivamente non sarebbe male anche magari chiedere alla community quali sono i piatti già esistenti vegan. Anche perché devo dire che chiedere a un genovese di togliere il parmigiano o il pecorino, che dir si voglia, dal pesto non è così facile. Cioè, è più facile un piatto totalmente diverso o un piatto che nasce vegano piuttosto che cambiare la ricetta originale, perché quello lì è proprio un sacrilegio, no? Quindi in effetti sì, è interessante, potremmo rivolgere la domanda alla community. Sì.
Sarebbe interessante aggiungere la risposta della community alle note del podcast.
Sì.
Che dici, Angie?
Sì. It would be nice.
It would be nice. And actually, I think I would also add those dishes that are almost vegan, where maybe you can just substitute, you know, maybe the cheese with vegan cheese, because sometimes you don't notice it that much. For example, pasta alla norma. If instead of pecorino, you use like the fake parmesan, let's say, it's almost the same flavor. And it's like...
But I mean, pasta alla norma, you can have it without the ricotta. And it's amazing. Like, it's fantastic. And if you go to Sicily, you just order pasta alla norma. You tell them, I don't eat cheese. I will take it without cheese. And it's, you know, it's the same dish that everybody else is having. You just don't put the grated cheese on top. And it's amazing. So yeah, that's a good one.
True. And actually, it is true what you said, Julia, that Italians take food somehow religiously. And so...
if you can replace God with religion, yeah, Italians are happy to
food,
do it.
It would be food. I think that's... I think the fake religion, I Pastafariani, I think that was born in Italy. And not by chance the God is a...
pasta?
Is a piece of pasta, yes.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
But... no, yes, that's a thing, because I think in other countries it's easier for veganism, but also for other kinds of cuisines to develop in general, because there's not a strong culinary background. And so
like
there's
England.
No, oh my God, this is how food should be. Don't give me that stuff. And that could be vegan, could be Chinese, could be Indian, could be anything. It's which is like how it is in Italy. And like my mother sometimes when I tell her, you know, that I eat, I don't know, I hate Chinese food, for example, just to not say vegan. And she looks at me like saying, oh my God, you forgot your roots. Why are you not eating Italian anymore?
Well, because it's easier also to have no cheese and eggs in that.
I think that's why, I mean, this is what I think is the reason why it's so hard for this, for veganism sometimes, as well as other like exotic cuisines, let's say, or different cuisines in general, to take like... To thrive in Italy. What do you think, Alice, Julia? Do you agree, or you think it's... did you also notice that it's easier outside Italy where there's not a strong cuisine, or it's just my imagination?
Yeah, I mean, it could be one of the reasons. Maybe it is because in London it's so easy and exactly. They don't have a strong cuisine, for instance, but I don't know, to be honest. I mean, probably it's because we are, especially the old generation is very attached to traditions, but I don't believe it's still so, so important to the younger generation. I don't know. So I think it's the right time to change things, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a nice thought, and a good line to, I think, thank our guest. What do you think?
Yeah, like maybe to impart with a guest, like, well, listeners, what are the 5 tips that you can give to them when they travel to Italy? Like we already mentioned, I think some of those tips in the episode, like to do the research, and then maybe some people don't want to do the research, but like 5 essential tips that they can follow when they enter Italy.
Okay, let's
and
go.
Be a vegan.
Let's go one and one. So, Julia, your tip.
My first tip would be to look for the regional or local vegan community, like the Genova in Genova, but it can be, you know, on Turin or Marche or whatever. I'm sure there is one everywhere. That would be the best place to start, I think.
That's nice. That's a good advice. Alicia, tu cosa ci consigli?
So yeah, I mean, social media, like she said, is great if you want to find the first suggestion very quickly. I mean, I would be careful as everyone else when he's traveling. You have to ask when you enter a restaurant. Don't be shy. Just ask if that dish includes cheese or eggs or meat or anything. I mean, that's the only way to survive when you travel, really. You can use Google. If you don't know, you can Google it. That's what I usually do. I mean, it takes an extra effort, but it's always important to do that because you never know what you have in your dish. So always ask.
Angie, qual è il tuo consiglio invece?
Ah, Have a kitchen, as Julia said in the in this conversation. Have a kitchen. I think that's pretty important, because even going to like Mercato Comunale, so these commune markets, like in general, it's pretty easy to find a lot of vegetables and fruits, which in many places take for granted, for example.
Yeah.
Anche quello è vero. Anche quello è vero. Dai.
Un'altra cosa che dico, che potrei suggerire io, come sempre credo in tutto il mondo, anche in Italia, finalmente, fino a qualche anno fa sembrava strano, ma anche ormai nei paesini abbiamo quasi sempre magari il ristorante asiatico, che può essere cinese, giapponese, anche magari thailandese, però i più diffusi sono cinese e giapponese, no? E quello è un po' una cosa che dove vai sul sicuro, nel senso che un piatto di riso con le verdure, il curry, il tofu, queste cose qua c'è sempre, costa sempre anche poco, e quando sei proprio lì che non sai dove andare, alla fine è facile anche in Italia, così come anche trovare una pizza, ti prendi una pizza con le verdure e mangi tanto e non spendi neanche tanto alla fine.
True. È molto vero.
Oh, and the last one, people underestimate that Italy has a lot of legumes. You have lentils and chickpeas.
Yeah.
A lot of it. And fagioli.
Sì, però non si trovano spesso al ristorante, e quindi un altro punto per il consiglio di Giulia: scegliete un appartamento con una cucina. Sarà molto 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 più semplice.
True.
Ok,
that's it, I think.
That's it. Ragazzi, è stato davvero un piacere fare questa chiacchierata con voi. It was really a pleasure, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate and
reach out.
Yeah, and I think this will be an important resource for all of the vegan tourists who love Italy and might be scared about how to enjoy Italy while keeping their diet regime.
True.
So thank you again, and I hope all of you will hear from us again very soon.
Ciao a tutti.
Ciao a tutti e grazie ragazzi.
Grazie.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao, grazie.
Ciao, grazie.